Dad's just not there. Not a present positive force. But when I asked her how her visit was, she said, oh, Dad was great. He was feeling terrific. And he was really terrific. He took us around. He showed us the house he's building. He showed us the things he's buying. He showed us new things. And I said, I said, that made it okay for the family. Yes, yes. And the family all felt good. And I said, well, has anybody ever thought of the fact that Dad has these swings in his moods that determine how everybody feels based on his mood swings? And she said, yeah, we all talk about it. And what it turned out is that she and her sisters and her mother would sit around and talk about Dad and what Dad's mood was that day or how he's been or what's it like. And then, of course, when they got together with Dad, they didn't address it at all. But when he was in a good mood, they were all high-spirited. Well, he was in a good mood, but something happened that kind of indicated that it was a little tenuous. There were some children who were invited over for the holidays, and they got a little loud, and he started really scolding them, showing that there was an edge to his good mood. Now comes the question. Her question is, why can't I find somebody to love me? That's her question. So let's take this subject and we're going to put this as a background to what you're about to hear. When I asked her, what is she attracted to? What kind of men is she looking for? And she says, here I am a year older and nobody else to love me. And I don't have any closer to being loved than I was the last few years. I said, so what do you look for? And she said, I don't know exactly. I said, so tell me about some of your friends, and many of you could consider this thought. What friends, if you're single, do you have a mate that you wish you could have for yourself? Well, I asked her this question, and she said, oh, I have two friends who have very good marriages. And I said, how good are the marriages? How do you know they're good marriages? She said, because they really get along. They cooperate together. They're both lawyers, they're both, they do things together, and they've been together, and they've raised their children together, and he's at home, and very cooperative. And I said, so would you, if she were not with him, would you choose him as a mate? She said, oh, no, I'm not turned on to him at all. I said, what do you mean by turned on? She says, I don't feel attracted to him. Not just sexually, but I don't feel the energy. Okay. So it led me to another question. Tell me about your other friend. She told about her other friend and his wonderful husband, who's very intelligent and kind and nice and pleasant and giving. But no, I'm not attracted to him either. So what I said to her, in effect, is you'd like to have a friend. You'd like to have a mate like the mate that your friends have, but you'd like him to have a different chemistry. Is that right? And she said, yes. And when we boiled it down, the chemistry that she's looking for is the spark of life. Someone recently said, a woman wants to know that she is desired by her man. A woman wants to know that when she walks in the room, her man lights up in response to her, that he has energy for her. Talking about heterosexual couples. A man said, when I walk in the room, I want her to light up at my presence. I don't want to be just another thing being there. I don't want to just be like a non-existent, oh, hi, you're home. So now, what is this thing? What's going on here about energy? A man wants a woman's energy. A woman wants a man's energy. My patient wants her father's energy. My patient wants her boyfriend's energy. She wants something energetic, something different, an aliveness, a spark. Well, now that can't be the case because there are a tremendous number of men out there who have no spark at all, who are married and in perfectly happy marriages. You know? Oh, their mates have a spark. Well, that's kind of interesting. In some cases, neither person has a spark, and the two people are somewhere sparkless, and they get along well, or they seem to get along well. It's just kind of, you wouldn't want to be a kid growing up with that family. No life, no energy. Energy, very important. You know, that's what grandmothers are good for. Grandmothers and sometimes grandfathers are great for energy because they show such energy towards the children as the children are growing up that very often the parents could be depressed and the kids kind of get the energy from grandma and grandpa and from each other, and then they get pets. So the kids are looking for energy from their mom and their pop, and they can't get it, so they get it from their kittens and their dogs and their bunny rabbits or whatever else you get them. Energy. Are we all searching for energy? Is it like the solar system? Is it like the sun? You know, we all, every element of life is dependent on photosynthesis in some way. All of life, chlorophyll, comes from basically being fed by the sun. They found a few things underneath the lava pits in the middle of the ocean that never touched the sun, but everything else is fed by the sun. Life is dependent on the sun's energy. Could it be that we are looking for the source of energy all the time? Could it be that there's such a high rate of suicide in places which have very short sunshines? You know, the longest days, like up in Norway and stuff like that, no sun. Right? High rate of suicide. You need the energy. You need to get a spark. You need to get something. High rate of alcoholism, too. Because alcohol is like fuel. You know, it's like gasoline you put in your tank. Kind of sparks a little energy for a little while. So, this is Armand DeMille with you at the Padre Mind. We're taking a look at energy. And energy as it represents in people. Depressed people who don't even know they're depressed. And depressed is a clinical word. Let's kind of even take that word and break it apart. Depressed, as in to depress the papers on your desk. To push them down, to squash them down a little bit so they don't take up as much room. A lot of people are depressed without being clinically depressed. They don't go around thinking about suicide. They don't go around being self-critical. Signs of, they don't have despair. Signs of depression, just no energy. Flat. A little less than alive. Back to biology. We used to think that the way the world worked was on homeostasis. We thought homeostasis was the perfect energetic form for the neurons of the body. We wanted, in neurology, and this was Sigmund Freud, had his theory built on this, the body searches for homeostasis. We look for a place where everything is in balance. We later learned that's not true. Because if everything is in balance, then old cells begin to die. And everything being in balance, homeostasis leads to death. Whereas if there is readiness and newness, if there's a new energy regenerating cells, then you have a balance. So if we think about the very cells in our body, every cell in our body looking for energy from the sun, every cell in our body looking for something to re-energize us. So when the old cells go, the new cells come along. That's, you know, here again, little tangent for you for a moment, menopause. What is one of the signs of menopause, and I'm going to go along with menopause, I'm going to say midlife crisis on men. Male midlife crisis and menopause, although they're unfair to compare them, they seem to have one thing in common. The slide of the energy is coming, almost like a recognition of death. Menopause. I have no more eggs. I'm going to be useless in a little bit. I am no longer meant to be on this planet. I'm not going to produce energy. Women who are in menopause very often start complaining about things that they need to keep them alive. They talk about wanting more energy. They talk about adventure. They talk about trips. They talk about building houses, starting businesses. There's like something inside them wants to engender it. Men. What do? They look for energy on the outside. I've got to buy a new car. I have to go to do a new thing. I have to find a new girlfriend. All sources of energy. Sex is a source of energy. you lose your sexuality. You feel it going away. You say, eh, where's my energy? So energy is very, very important, I think, to pay attention to. Now, let's go back to our friend who's looking for a boyfriend, right? She wants to find a guy to be related to. She says, so what do? I look at every man who attracts me, and do I ask myself, are they manic? Manic is a big word. Manic is kind of a description of a state of mind that could be either bipolar, part of a bipolar system, or it could be just an energetic state. But it could be benign, you know, it doesn't have to be bad for you. It doesn't have to be pathological. So it could be benign. So there are people out there who are just manic. Manic meaning high energy. High energy, you look at them, their eyes sparkle. You kind of love them. You think they're wonderful, you know. They're just absolutely radiant. Radiant means filled with energy, as in the sun feeds me with energy. Hyperactivity in children. Hyperactivity in children, interesting thing. Too much energy. Too much energy, some kind of point where the world is trying to find out how much energy are you going to have. Hyperactivity in children, we see that and we know that it's not okay for a child to live with hyperactivity for too long a period of time. We begin calling it ADD. We say they can't pay attention with that level of hyperactivity. We have to find a way to calm them down. Got to bring them back off it, but it's really, they're bubbling. If you think about other forms of hyperness, I'm going to give you one that'll be surprising, paranoia. Paranoia is another form of energy. Why? Because it's hypervigilance. You know, you burn a lot of calories being hypervigilant. You ever see a fat deer? No, deers don't get fat. Deers are running around, watching out, being careful. Who knows where the lion's going to be? What's that noise I just heard? Oh, it's a bird, huh? Well, is that bird a lion looking like a bird? Hey, boys, we better run. Right? The gazelle's on the, you know, we better get out of here. Might be one of those leopards coming at us. Armand DeMille here with you with the Positive Mind, talking about energy, and we're going to be taking your calls about this. Other types of energy, you know, type A personalities. You know, people who are there, very productive, very energetic. It's wonderful to see. Leaders, what was that name? Tony Robbins, right? There's a guy for you filled with energy, right? You could even walk on coals, right? He is so filled with energy. Hey, maybe that's where he gets his energy, right? Tony Robbins, I mean, was out there as a speaker who is getting people to be motivated. Motivational speakers are all filled with this extra energy that I've got to spare. And if you pay attention to me, I'll give you a little more energy. How about a parson, a preacher, a guy in church who's teaching to you? I have access to God's energy is what they say. You stay with me and I'll infuse you with God's energy. Whew. What a line. Right? Maybe it's true. We're very attracted to it. Gambling, you know, when you think about all the addictions, they're all about generating energy. If you're depressed, you don't go gambling to stay depressed. Of course, you get depressed from gambling because you lose. But for that time that you're gambling, you're sucking up the energy of the gamble, the risk. All people looking for energy. Counterphobia. Counterphobia is a very interesting thing. Counterphobic people are people who are afraid of things, who confront their fears by doing the opposite. So if you are afraid of heights, you might do bungee jumping, right? Counterphobia, you're jumping. But what happens in counterphobia? You have fear, which is pulling you back, depressing you. You jump in. And you get filled with energy during that time, and you come out of it, and you get such a rush. I was reading an article the other day, New York Times actually yesterday, about when disease invades a body, something happens to people as they begin to sense disease. They become super active. And many people become, you know, at age 60 or 50, when diabetes sets in or something, they're very willing to exercise now and do all those things, and sometimes even to their own detriment. Did you ever hear about the runner who drops dead of a heart attack, you know, who's running a little too hard? In fact, there was a story about a guy who was going, his name was Mr. Shack. And he was going for in the diabetes community, he participated a 2.4-mile swim with a 112-mile bike ride and a 26-mile run. And he had spent his entire life with not one bit of exercise before then. But suddenly he got so involved in it. Why? Would people say, he's getting healthy? Well, you know, not so healthy. This guy goes so far, he's a doctor's worst nightmare. They're sure he's going to drop dead any day now. Because he's pushing himself, because he felt himself losing it. Now, is this the way it works? When you're beginning to die on any level, do you look to generate energy? Is depression representational of a form of death? Yes, it is. Those of you who are really depressed, you know what that's like. It's like you're dying inside. So what do? You go to places where you don't get depressed. You go to things like you love movies. What are the popular movies of today? The popular movies of today show the most manic energy. The population loves to see Jim Carrey. Right? I mean, if you see the latest poster of Jim Carrey, he's not even on the ground. He's standing off the ground with his hands and arms in the air, and he's shouting, and it's called Yes Man. The movie is Yes Man, about a man who finds a compulsion to say yes to everything. It was like the show he did about being a liar, you know, the one before that, where he had to tell the truth about everything. People with loads of energy. Will Ferrell, you know, you see him. Robin Williams. Robin Williams is scary. I mean, everybody may laugh at Robin Williams. When I see Robin Williams, I don't laugh. I practically cry. Because he's not in control of that energy. It's in such movement. It's like he just can't stand not being energetic. Jerry Lewis used to be like that. A caricature. You know what I mean? We would look at Jerry Lewis and say, what a great man, what a great entertainer. Hey, wait a minute. Now, let's go back to my patient's father. My patient's father, who was so filled with energy, you know, hey, maybe this is a little scary. Let's get the family around here and let's talk about this. Let's say there are times when this person is very energetic, but they're not very responsive. Let's try to find a time that we could talk to them and say, you know, these swings between your energy and your depression, maybe we should pay attention to it, Dad. Maybe it would do something for our whole family. If we could go see if there's a cycle to this, if there's something to it, maybe a medication or some kind of treatment or talking to somebody might help you not have these swings where half the time you're alienated and the other half of the time you're so energized you're off the planet and yelling at the kids. Now, Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I want to talk a little bit just more about this, how the question of how do you determine who is just high energy and who is not? Think of the dance clubs. What's going on in dancing? What happens in most dance clubs? Right? You go to a dance club and you have energy. Music. Now you're dancing. Now you're dancing with people. Now people are feeding your energy. Now you're feeding your energy back. It's an energy exchange. You're going to an energy. You're going to go plug yourself in. If you were some kind of new car that was going to be run on electrical energy, you know, where you have to plug yourself into the wall to get yourself going, that's what dance clubs are. Go get energy. You know, not the ones where you go at a date and just do something subtle and soft, but the kind of dance clubs where you're going just to dance, to get wired, and you don't want to dance alone. You're dancing with a gang of people. Dance clubs do it. Other places that go to it. In fact, even on TV, just for energetic exchange, you know what people do? They have canned laughter. Canned laughter is such a funny thing. Because if you think about canned laughter, meaning the laughter that's kind of automatic, that's not really coming from live people. Like you listen to Jerry Seinfeld, and you listen to some of the canned laughter, or Raymond and Son. Is that the name of it? Everybody loves Raymond. There's laughter that comes out. He'll say something, and ah, audience laughs. What is it that we're getting? His stuff is not so funny. This stuff doesn't necessarily have to be funny. Some of it is humorous. But the energy of the audience laughter picks the show up to make you feel more energetic. No, my friends, if you listen to people on the radio and they have no energy, you fall asleep. Show me a TV host that has no energy. They wouldn't be a host. They couldn't be there, Jay Leno, anybody. None of those people, their energy, they bring it to you. They suck it to you the minute they walk out there. They say, here I am for you. Plug yourself into me. So here are the questions we have, and the question my patient has. Do I have a latent depression that will only respond to an energy source? Am I just dying to find, do I have fantasies about traveling and what I would have done if I had done other things and if only I could have and I should have and maybe I should have gotten another degree? Or are you trying to find a way out of that depression? You know, are you looking to see where would I be to make me feel better? What spot would I be in life to make me feel better? Well, we're talking about a basic depression sitting underneath there. Because the truth of it is, wherever you are, life could be beautiful. And I could say that from knowing some of the most impoverished people in the world, in some of the countries that I've been, where they have absolutely nothing, where they could move to another country, but they stay because they have their family around, and the energy that they have in the most oppressive states is beautiful. Beautiful. So, when we see energetic people, we ask the following question. And we're going to take your calls, by the way, in 5 minutes at 212-209-2900. We have to ask ourselves a couple of questions about depression, about the energy. One of the energies, one of the things we want to know about a person's energy is, can you turn it off? Can they turn it off? If a person is wired and energetic and you look at them, and you say, honey, I need a minute of your time. I want to talk to you. Can they slow down? If that person is so filled with this kind of manic energy they can't, then you know it's not sane energy. Can they stop it? Can they take a rest from it? There are two more things I know about salespeople. You know, I've seen people who try to sell things. I'm going to become a car salesman, says a depressed person to me, and I said, oh, no, please, you don't want to be a car salesman. What? I'll be the only one who is selling Mini Coopers. No, 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 you don't want to do that. If you have no energy, you can't sell a car. Because what is a car? It's energy. You go in there, they're going to think the car is going to move at your speed. No, it's not a good place for salespeople. Right? Number one, therapists. I have a claim about therapists who I meet who are depressed. I wonder, you know, you meet a therapist, they seem very nice and calm. Do they have any energy? If the therapist has no energy, what are they going to give you? They're going to get the energy from you. Oh my gosh, going to get energy from me? I got so little to spare. I think depressed therapists would be very good for manic patients. It'd be like, you know, okay, I'll suck some of that energy out of you and you can put it in my direction. But if you see, I see a lot of therapists in the field who are depressed. Depressed. Just, they're on the ground. And it's very hard to be treated by a depressed therapist when you're trying to keep some level of it. So, remember anosognosia. Anosognosia, the condition by which somebody who is in a pathological state or a sick state of mind cannot see what's wrong with them. Mania is anosognostic. Anosognostic. A-N-O, but not the way I have it up here. agnosia, A-G, isn't it? Agnostic, agnosia, agnostic. Anosognosia. Anyway, it's a condition by which people feel things, and they feel perfectly normal, but they can't see what's wrong with them. I began saying about paranoia. You know, paranoia is highly energetic state. The trouble with depression itself, it would be nice if it were just depression, but sometimes depression has with it agitation. And the worst condition I know in the world is an agitated depression. You're depressed and you're nervous. Oh, my God, there you need a really special therapist. You need a therapist who can help you step out of the depression and calm down the nervousness. And that takes quite a skill on a therapist's part, because most therapists don't know how to do that. They're not familiar enough with it, you know. They're just not familiar enough with it, and it's not an easy thing. So this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We are talking about energy, and I'd like to know about your experience with energy and questions that this brings up for you. You know, about your energy, about the energy of what you see. Look at who we elected for a president this time. We elected a president who has a perfect combination of energy and calm. By no accident did we see little clips of him playing basketball and him dancing on Ellen DeGeneres' show. I mean, by no accident. Hey, guy's got energy. Hey, our world is depressed. You know? What happened to the last 8 years? We got further and further depressed. We lost more and more. We lost our face to the universe, to the world. They look at us now as being bad people. We're not proud to be an American anymore. We have become destructive beings. We are sour. They've taken away our money. They've raped our soul. They've taken our business. Is the way that most people feel, victims of what's happened. They want to blame Bernie Madoff, and they want to blame the banks and blame everything, but everything is kind of, the system didn't work. Somebody bring me a breath of fresh air. Somebody. And we elected somebody who has got all that potential. And it's going to happen very soon, my friends. Let's hope that it winds up being something brand new, something energetic, and how we could be a part of it. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back from that break, I'll play you a little lively music. And then we'll take your telephone calls at 212-209-2900. A short break.
Greetings, this is Savion Glover, and you're listening to WVAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York. Enjoy.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas, heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world with expert guests, insightful analysis, and, of course, your comments, questions, and observations.
Five,
that's
four,
TalkBack right
three,
here on WBAI,
two,
New
one,
York.
Go.
My heart is filled with gladness. Oh, look. The orchestra's getting ready. Dance with me, George.
This is Armand DeMille Bakri with A Positive Mind. Telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We're taking your calls today about your relationship to energy and your own relationship to yourself. 212-209-2900. We will be taking your calls today because it's been a long time since I've taken your calls, and it's always good to have you on air with me. So here's where you stand. Let me ask you a question about your own energy. Does it change? Would you say on a scale of 1 to 10, you're a very energetic person, 10? Or on a 1 level, you're very lacking in energy? And have you traveled throughout your time along that energy? Have you been at times a 2 and then at times an 8? You know, have you been along that spectrum? Oh, you're one of those well-balanced AR2 people who, you know, kind of stay somewhere in the middle. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. Oops, there you go.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi, Armand. How are you? This is Alex. I've been into your office many times before.
Oh, hello, Alex. How are you?
Good, good. Interesting show about energy.
Yeah, Al, could you turn down your radio, please?
Yes, it's off.
It's off completely? Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, interesting.
Yes, my wife is low energy, and she says to me that sometimes my energy is too much for her.
Yeah, you can imagine that. Let's just stop with that for a moment, okay? Call Michael. Let's just think about that for a moment, okay? There is a point at which you could hear that your wife feels like she wants to withdraw into this place. And she pulls back, you know, and she pulls back into her cave. And when she's in her cave, there's like she doesn't want to be invaded. Right. And there are times when that makes you angry.
Yeah.
It makes you angry because you don't want, you want her to come out. I mean, I could tell you there's nothing worse than being with somebody who doesn't want to be with you. You're engaging right. them, you're talking to them, you're loving them. They are your source of love. You've said, oh, I'm in love with this person, and then suddenly they turn into a drag. And you go, ah, come on out and play, will you?
Well, it's low energy that she has. We were going to move up to Vermont, and we had put money down on a house and everything. But I always backed out of it. This has happened a few times because the energy up there is just low. I need, like, the energy by Manhattan and people and things going on.
So you run at a different level, yet you married someone who was of a lower energy. Do you understand? You were
right.
looking
yeah,
for
totally
your balance.
I totally understand that. Yeah, 22 years I'm married. I love my wife dearly.
And and she has been the same way for those 22 years.
Yes.
You want to
yes.
hear something funny? Do you ever get, Alex, do you ever get depressed?
I don't think I get depressed. I'm in sales.
Of course.
And, I'm trying to open my business online, but I don't really work like that, and I'm wondering if it's going to work because I'm a salesperson face-to-face, and my energy is always what's sold, my business. But online, now I'm behind a computer, and I'm saying, what the hell am I doing here?
You're going to have one of those video clips that come on
yeah.
with your name on it and your voice on it, you know?
That's not a bad idea, but
okay,
I don't
but
think
now,
I get depressed.
Let me go back a second for you, Alex. I promise you that if you got depressed, your wife would become undepressed.
That's true. It happens.
Tell me about it.
I don't get depressed. I get down. You know, I get.
Now, what happens when you get down?
She then brightens up.
Ah. Now, here's the problem with that. If we knew there'd be nothing in your life that you would like more than the person you love to be a little brighter than she feels, when you know she walks around half-depressed all the time, then it would mean that you would have to quiet yourself down so that she could come to you. And that's a very tough thing to do when you have an energy like you do. It's very energy. It's a little like living in Maine or Vermont.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I drag myself
down. The energy
down.
Is low there with the long day, the cold days and not the sunlight. I'm like,
Yeah.
It's interesting, though.
So there's a question. Here's a question now. The question is, how would you like to be more calm?
In what way would I like to be more calm?
No. There's a good question. In what way would you like to be more calm?
I guess less frustrated with life.
Yeah. Life does get frustrating when you have a lot of energy, you know? When you're depressed, one of the beauties is you just feel like you're buried by it. So
yeah,
you don't get so frustrated, you know? But the thing about energetic men is they get frustrated with life.
Is that true?
Yeah. Because you're up there trying. You see, somebody once had a theory about the difference between grandiose people and depressed people. They said grandiose people believe that they can get people to love them. And so they're always trying to get people to love them. Depressed people have given up on the hope that they could be loved. This is Alice Miller in The Drama of the Gifted Child. So she said grandiose people, which are the you kind of people out there, you know, energetic, you can get people to love you all the time.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
That's how my customers and friends.
I even love you. It's amazing.
Thank you.
It works.
You've met me many times.
I know I have. But then, of course, when you go home, your wife, who knows you, you need a balance for this, and she kind of brings you down. So here's what I suggest. I suggest the two of you find some way of finding a common ground, which is a peaceful common ground. Now, not peaceful meaning it drives you crazy. And I'm going to give you an example of that. An example of that would be ballroom dancing. The kind of thing where you both can engage, not pulling her out into some high energy thing, but not pulling you down into some low energy thing, but some place where you can make contact, you know, and still be in movement together. Even rowing a boat together, you know,
right.
doing stuff together that doesn't require you necessarily ask each other to step out of the energy. But I also want you to acknowledge, Alex, it makes you angry. It makes you angry.
It does. Because it's socially, she has no social life, and I'm extremely social. People, I want to interact with them and feel their energy. People have energy, you know, learn from them and feel them and talk with them, you know. You know, she doesn't want any part of that life, so I'm always pulled into isolation.
Well, you see, now there's a question. You say you're pulled into isolation. You bring yourself into that isolation because the truth of it is, Alex, you could build that life for yourself. You could build a life with other people where you could go and have all the exchanges you want, and you can invite her along, and if she doesn't want to go, you got to follow it anyway. And you're going to find you stop yourself from doing that.
I do, and I go to weddings by myself, funerals by myself, parties by myself, and I'm married 22 years, and I see my friends, they're with their wives, you know, and I'm like, geez, you know, I get angry, I think, at that, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Right.
And she knows this as well, right? And she must, and the inside of her, she must feel so bad about it. She must feel so bad that she can't provide you what you need. You know, she must love you on some level. And
she says she has no use for people and parties and talking and interacting with people, you know.
Yeah, so she's really depressed. She's really depressed. You know, Deb, have you ever done the Enneagram, Alex?
Yes, we did it. Both of us did it.
You both did it. And she was a five, wasn't she?
I don't recall.
I think she's a five or a four.
Right.
And I think it's like it's just a lifestyle. If you read the Enneagram book, which I think you got...
Right.
You'll find her style, and you'll find all of this stuff that is just the way she is. And it doesn't mean she's unlovable. It just means it's difficult, and you have to build your life around it, away from it, which is what you're doing, which is what keeps you sane.
That's a good thing, then, you know.
Best you could do.
Right.
Alex, thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you. You're the best. Thank you, Alma.
Thank you.
Be well. Ciao.
212-209-2900. That's a common complaint I hear. I hear it a lot from women whose husbands are depressed. You know, they're at home and they don't want to do anything, and she wants to get up and she wants to get out and she wants to do anything, and she's trying to generate some energy. And he's just like a clod. I hear that too. 212, but you know, sometimes you just think it's a balance. But if you look at what Alex does the right thing. He gets out there and he takes care of himself. But he does have this thing. I wish I had a partner to join me. 212-209-2900, Armando Miller. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I think this show is wonderful.
Thank you.
I find with me, I'm a very enthusiastic person, and I tend to get people very enthusiastic. I'm married to... when I met my husband, he was very... We were very enthusiastic about learning, and we very much have a mental relationship.
Is he Indian? Is he Indian?
Is he what?
Indian.
No.
Where is he from?
He's American, born and bred.
American, born and bred. Okay, and where are you born and bred?
South Africa.
South Africa. Okay. So where you were from, was your energy very accepted?
It's funny because I'm a very quiet person until I get to know somebody or when I'm involved in a cause. It really brings me to life. I'm one of those people that can stand up and talk in front of people and really get a crowd enthusiastic.
And then other than that,
I'm very quiet, and I'm actually I like to go for long walks by myself and be by myself. But I love to. You know, I guess it's funny because you were talking to the guy. I like to get people happy.
Yeah, I hear you. What's your name, by the way?
My name is Jenny.
Jenny, so did when you were a kid, did you entertain your family?
No, I didn't.
I mean, did you have a depressed father?
No, I didn't have a father.
Oh, you didn't
my
have
father
one.
My father wasn't around. I was my mother's involved in a lot of human rights and stuff like that. So I kind of observed life. I was I was in an Afrikaans school, and my mother was pro ANC, mm-hmm. and it made me real unpopular because I was the kind of person that when the teacher would say something like, "Oh, these people are nothing but blah blah," I would stand up and say, "How would you feel if you were black? Do you think you would feel the same way?"
Mm.
And yeah, that was I was the kind of person. I'm not afraid to say something. And it made me very unpopular in the sense that a teacher would kind of be like, oh, you just like a, you just love black people.
So, Jenny, what part mm-hmm. of this do you find difficult for yourself?
Well, this is what's going on. I love seeing happiness and movement in people. I love when I teach, and a lot of times when I get that aha moment with people, when they say, aha, I get it,
mm-hmm.
there's such joy that fills me. I love making people happy. My husband had, when I first met him, I would make him happy all the time, but he has a very critical spirit, and he seems to want things perfect, and nothing is ever good enough.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how hard I try, I cannot.
Painful that must be, Jenny.
Well, he was drawn into this coldness, and then I would.
Jenny, when you get it, I mean, sometimes when you look at him, do you feel like just weeping because it's so painful?
I can't weep because if I do, he antagonizes me.
So you actually got somebody who stopped you from weeping? What about on your own? What about right this minute? Don't you feel like weeping when you think about it, or did you shut off your tears?
I go deep into the wood, and sometimes I just cry very silently. And when I sometimes talk about it, because I have this attitude, don't talk. And I've gone very close to just saying, why don't I just end myself? I'm so useless.
Sure, I understand.
The person that I want to make happy more than any person. I almost always used to run after him saying, please love me, please love me. What can I do? Who can I be to make you happy? And what happened is I basically... I've become numb inside. I've become
sure.
completely dead. I feel nothing. The only time I feel is when I'm alone and he's not around. I feel like this feeling coming alive, but sometimes I can't feel a thing, and I feel like maybe I'm a living corpse, you know?
Yes, I understand. I understand, and it's what happens. You know, Jenny, it's what happens. Yeah. So a question for you is the following. You have this image of yourself, which is that you have it's almost a message in life. You must make people alive and energetic, and it's a gift you have because you bring love to people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this other image of yourself, is you chose a man who cannot be made happy.
Yes.
You know? So some part of you must want to deal with this need to make people happy. So there must be something about the question of it, about why you're there in the first place, as a messenger for people rather than a messenger for yourself. Why are you in this place? Because you found the perfect man, a man who says, not me. Now, he may not be a perfect man. He may be a very sick man, a very crazy man. He could be, for all you know, he could be walking dead himself. But for you, you're being challenged to find out what's underneath this. And it's time, because here's what I could tell you about yourself. When someone believes that their purpose in life is to please others, and they find out they can't, they frequently commit suicide.
I was very close a couple of months ago, and when one of my friends helped me through it, my other friend that I thought was really my friend, Linda, basically, I said to her, I'm so depressed, I'm so sad. And she's like, you're never sad. You always cheer everybody up.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but you don't understand. I feel so like I have no purpose anymore because I can't make my husband happy. And she said, you know what? I really don't want to learn about problems. I can't deal with you when you're so unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to never, ever complain. And my one friend, basically, she had gone through a loss. And she said, you know what? Sometimes it's just shitty and you just need to cry. And I just cried and I had a lot of release of built up feelings. And I asked my husband to leave me. I said, please, just please leave me. Please. and he refuses to divorce me. He refuses to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot get a divorce because, you know, my rabbi won't give me one. And I feel those feelings of just ending it coming up again. Like, you know, I start feeling very dead. And then I say, you know what? I can just make everyone happy because
I am dead anyway.
Yeah.
I am dead anyway. But how do you feel right this minute, Jenny? Are you there?
I feel, yes, I am. I just feel sad.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I was thinking of going back home and just getting away from him. I mean,
but wait, besides that, stay in the moment. At this moment, would you call this feeling sad? The moment right now.
The moment right now? Yes, but I feel, I cry and I feel sad, but I don't really feel.
That's what I'm asking you now. Do you feel sad now? Do you feel relief now? Do you feel a little happy now? Do you feel depressed now? What do you feel right this minute? Or is it all numb?
It's all numb.
Yeah, I hear. So here's what I notice about you. You have a lot of feelings, mm-hmm. but you think you're numb. You see, you think you don't have feelings, but you have a lot of feelings. What you've learned is you've learned to disconnect from your feelings. You no longer have access to your feelings. And this is a very big thing. It's a very big thing. What you've done is you've just cut off from them. And that we have to get back for you. Have you been in therapy?
No, I haven't.
You know,
I haven't.
It sounds like it's about time. This is just a perfect time, you know? You find the right person. Call my office. Let me find you somebody who can work with you at this time, because you're at a perfect time of change, and you don't have to be this way any longer. You've done enough. You know, you've done enough.
No way to reconnect with my feelings. Am I better off leaving my husband and getting away and going back home?
No, you're better off finding out who you really are, not taking an action. I strongly recommend call my office, okay, because we don't want to lose you. You're a teacher in this world. My telephone number is 212-757-4488.
And I can get it online?
No, it's, yes, you can also get it online, thepositivemind.com.
Thank you.
Follow
Thank
through,
you
Jenny.
So
we need you.
Thank you.
This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Hey, feet people. It's great to be with you. I will be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., and I am got more stuff lined up for you. Just fabulous. So if you want to get in touch with us, you go to thepositivemind.com, or you can go to the website, wbai.org, and give all that you can give. Love is a circle.